to turn in the Word of God to John's Gospel in chapter 10, and our texts are verses 27 and 28. John 10, verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. If you've ever wondered what being a Christian is and how somebody becomes a Christian and what security a Christian has, then these words of the Lord Jesus Christ will help you understand what becoming a Christian involves and how wonderfully secure the Christian is. But we mustn't be carried away by thinking about ourselves, how I become a Christian, because Christianity is supremely about Jesus Christ. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Christianity is wonderfully centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I give them eternal life, he says. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And so Christianity is the binding of people to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we become Christians by hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep, hear my voice. And that's what you should be concerned to do this evening, to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, because that's how you become a Christian, that's how you go on as a Christian. And Christians live day by day by receiving this life from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could say, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Christian life is something that is energized from heaven day by day. It's not lived out in our own strength, obeying a sort of code of Christian ethics. It is a life from heaven, eternal life in the soul. And there's a wonderful security for the Christian. My father was a believer, and he's passed into glory. And we buried him in the ground this past week. But we did so in the secure knowledge that he is safe with the Lord Jesus Christ and will be raised in glory in due time. But what does it look like? What does it feel like being a Christian in real life? And here, the Lord Jesus Christ, in what he did, and John the Apostle, in how he recorded what Jesus did, sheds light for us and is very helpful for us, because of two miracles that Jesus did, either side of talking about himself as the Good Shepherd, and two people upon whom those miracles were performed. They were sheep belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we want to know what does it look like to be a sheep, hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it look like to be someone who is safe and secure, from whom nothing can snatch them from the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in John chapter 9, we have the account of the blind man, the man who was born blind. And in John chapter 11, we have the account of Lazarus. Both of those people were sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of his pasture. He knew them, he spoke to them, they followed him. So in John chapter 9, the blind man hears the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He follows the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't listen to the voice of strangers. He has eternal life. And in John chapter 11, Lazarus. Nothing could snatch Lazarus from the safe keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ, not even death. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls the blind man from his darkness into eternal life. And he demonstrates that Lazarus has life that death cannot take from him by raising him from the dead. And so those are two examples for us of what it is like to be a sheep in Christ's flock. So I want us to look at these two men, particularly the blind man, as he comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's an illustration for us of how you become a Christian and what it's like to be a Christian. So first of all, the text tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." How is that illustrated in the life of the man who was born blind? Well, in the midst of the cruel affliction with which he was born, the blind man hears the voice of Jesus. A wonderful day for him. And he obeys everything that Jesus tells him to do. That's what it's like to be a Christian. You hear the voice of Jesus and you obey. And you follow him. He has no ears, this blind man, no ears for the hostile voices of the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They claim to be leading the people of God. They claim to be building the kingdom of God. And their route to the kingdom of God was law-keeping, according to their rules and regulations. And the foundation of their hopeful kingdom of God was the foundation of self-righteousness. But the man who was born blind didn't listen to them. He listened to the voice of Jesus. And as he listens, he follows Jesus, whatever the consequences. And that's what it's like being a Christian. You follow Jesus, whatever the consequences. Over many years, the blind baby had grown into the blind boy, and he'd heard many voices. No doubt the voice of his mother as she cradled him in her arms. Maybe he'd heard the sobs of his mother as she wept over him and wondered why it was that God should have allowed her precious little baby boy, who otherwise looked so beautiful and perfect, was born blind. Maybe he heard her tears. Maybe he heard his father coming home from work and reporting about the day's work as he grew up, asking how it was with the boy today, encouraging his mother. The young boy could hear children playing in the street, couldn't see what they were doing, couldn't join in their games, but he could hear their laughters, he could hear the thudding of something they may have been throwing around together, he could hear their playing of instruments, but he couldn't take part. And maybe as he listened, he could picture it in his mind, and no doubt his mother, from time to time, as he was growing up, would describe what was happening to him. And the sounds he could hear as his mother was describing helped him to form a picture. And so in his dark world, he could hear so many things, and he could put it all together in his imagination and think about what was going on around him. He may have heard the Pharisees on the street corners praying with themselves, praying to anyone who would listen to them, not praying to God. And maybe he heard some cruel Pharisee thanking God that he was not born as other men, blind, even like this poor boy here. And one day, he heard a group of men walking along. He didn't know who they were. It was Jesus who passed by. He saw the blind man, who was blind from birth, and he could hear perhaps the subdued voices of the followers of this Jesus. Maybe they didn't realize how acute his hearing was. And as they passed by, still quite close to the man, they asked the question, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Imagine hearing that as a blind man, born blind. Who did sin? this man or his parents that he was born blind. And you can imagine the blind man thinking, how dare they talk about my mum and dad like that? My mother, who's looked after me day after day since I was a baby and brought me through. And they're talking as if my mother was some wretched, particular sinful woman. And my father, who's not abandoned us, but kept us and looked after us. And what stupidity to talk as if, as an unborn baby, I had sinned. Who had sinned? But the blind man had heard that they were talking to a rabbi, a teacher. And so he perhaps pricks up his ears to hear, what will this rabbi answer these disciples of his? And then he hears Jesus for the first time, my sheep hear my voice. And here's the blind man hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing it was. So different, so delightful, so encouraging, so different. He hears Jesus say, neither this man nor his parents sinned. What a relief. So many people had assumed that, and that's the kind of thing he'd been hearing, the kind of bullying that may have taken place as a boy, he couldn't take part in the other games of the children. But here was someone saying something different. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. And then something so encouraging. The rabbi, whoever he was, the blind man hadn't seen him yet, didn't know who he was. The rabbi said, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. What a wonderful thing for the blind man to hear, that his blindness from birth has not been wasted. It's not been a disaster that has no purpose. This rabbi was saying that he's been born blind in order that the works of God should be revealed in him. What hope that would have raised in the blind man's heart. And then the wonderful encouraging thing, this person whose voice was so different and delightful and encouraging then says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And so the blind man, he's heard that his blindness has been so that the works of God can be manifest. And now he's hearing this teacher, who is Jesus, saying, I must work the works of him who sent me. So the hope in the blind man's heart is rising. Surely this rabbi is going to do a work on me to manifest the glory of God. And then Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What a wonderful thing for the blind man to hear. He's lived in darkness all his life, unable to see. And within earshot is this one who is saying, I am the light of the world. And he's going to do a work to bring this blind man out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then the blind man hears Jesus in a much more personal way speaking to him. I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ said much more to the blind man than we have actually recorded here for us. For instance, many people may have spat on the ground in front of this blind man before in a scornful way. I'm not going to give you any money begging there by the side of the road. And Jesus was intent on spitting on the ground in front of this blind man, but for a very different purpose. So you can imagine the blind man hearing Jesus' sandals on the gravel as they twisted and turned as Jesus stooped down low to where he was. He could hear the robe of Jesus folding over itself as he came down, and Jesus, I'm sure, explained to him, "You're going to hear me spitting. But the reason I'm going to do that is I'm going to make some clay from the dust of the ground and put it on your eyes. So don't be alarmed. It's not a scornful spitting. It's going to be a healing spitting on the ground." And we read there in John 9 that when Jesus has said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They hear and they obey." And that's what you see the blind man doing. He hears Jesus telling him, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." And he went. "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life." Well, the blind man is an illustration to us of what it's like when a person becomes a Christian. Because every single one of us is born into this world spiritually blind. We don't know God. We're blind to the truth of God. We don't recognize God. And Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, the king of the kingdom of darkness, loves to keep his people in darkness. The work of Satan is to bring us into the darkness and keep us in the darkness. He will deceive us. He will lie about God. He will lie about ourselves, telling us we're much better than we really are. When the gospel comes, Paul tells us, the god of this world, the small g god, that's Satan, the god that this world follows, he blinds the minds of people so that they don't believe. The work of God is to defeat the darkening influence of Satan. The work of God is to bring us from our native darkness into his glorious light and life. Eternal light, how pure the soul must be when placed within your searching sight. It shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. But our native sphere is dark. Our minds are dim. So how can we, who are creatures of the darkness, whose minds are dim, how can we be brought into the light? Well, we are brought by the Good Shepherd speaking to us. We are brought into the light by the Good Shepherd, as it were, making clay and put it on our eyes so that our eyes can be opened. It's interesting what Jesus did to open this man's eyes. It's perhaps an illustration of the wonder of Scripture and the wonder of the Holy Spirit illuminating the Scripture and bringing the truth to our sight so that we see the truth. Just as Jesus took something from his mouth and combined it with something of earth and made this one composite clay and placed it on the eyes of the blind man, so the Scriptures are this composite, wonderful word of God. God sends forth from his mouth his word. He combines it with human authors and their words in human language, and he binds the two together. The word of God expressed in the words of men, and it becomes this Scripture. And it's as the Scripture is applied to our darkened minds and darkened hearts that the beginnings of the bringing us forth out of darkness takes place. But Jesus told the man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." There were other pools in Jerusalem. He didn't send him to those. They may have been nearer to where Jesus met the man who was born blind, but he sends him to the pool of Siloam, because Siloam means sent. And in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the waters that trickle by, the waters of Siloam, which are not to be despised by the people, are a picture of the Holy Spirit. And as if the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us an illustration of how sin-darkened blind eyes are opened. The Good Shepherd brings us to the Scriptures. He told the people in John 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And that's what Jesus would do for us. He would say, go to the Bible. Read the Bible. They speak about Jesus Christ. But it's not enough just to go to the Bible. Just as it was not enough for the blind man to have clay on his eyes, he had to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He had to go to the place where the water was, water that was sent into Jerusalem. And we too, we come to the Bible, but we have to come to the Bible and we can't understand it on our own. We need the aid and the help of the Holy Spirit to wash away the darkness of our minds and hearts. And in the combination of all these things, the combination of the Word of God as it bears testimony to Jesus, the combination of the Spirit applying and, as it were, using the Word to open our eyes, we are born again by the Spirit, born again by the Word of God, made alive, brought out of a life of darkness into the light, the life of light with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how someone becomes a Christian. Have you become a Christian? Have you felt your native darkness? You're not born into this world because your immediate parent was... You're not born into this world a sinner because your immediate parent sinned a particular sin. It is the condition of everyone. But the only way for you to be delivered out of this condition of sinfulness is to be saved by Jesus. To be brought to understand from the Bible, Jesus is the Savior. He's the Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Have you recognized your sinfulness? Have you had your eyes opened to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said about his sheep, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give to them eternal life." The blind man followed Jesus, and he had eternal life welling up within him. You remember that if you go back to John chapter 9. In the account, the blind man is brought to the Pharisees. Jesus has healed him on the Sabbath day. Oh, dear, dear, dear. So they take him to the court, as it were. And the Pharisees try to pummel this man into submission. Who opened your eyes? Well, a man that was called Jesus. He made clay. He anointed my eyes, said, go and wash. I washed, and I see. It's Jesus. What do you say about this man, Jesus? Well, he's a prophet. And they say, well, we can't accept that. Give glory to God. And this man must be a sinner. And the poor blind man, whose knowledge of Jesus is not yet grown, he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know is that God doesn't listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshipper of God, God hears him. And I know that never in the whole of history has ever the eyes of a man who's born blind been opened. And if this man were not of God, he couldn't do these things. So as he's arguing with the court, they're pressing down upon him. But the more they press him down, the more he rises up. They say to him, we are Moses' disciples. You are his disciple. And he is quite glad of that. They ask him, tell us again, He says, why do you want to know? Will you become his disciples?
No. They wouldn't.
But he was a disciple of Jesus. He has this irrepressible delight in Jesus. That's eternal life. And it was welling up in his heart. Jesus told the woman at the well that eternal life was like living water, that would be a spring of water welling up within the heart. He prays in John 17 that eternal life is to know God the Father and to know Jesus Christ. Eternal life is this bubbling up of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ, following Jesus Christ, being loyal to Jesus Christ, and living in such a way that nobody can suppress that. This life of Jesus, this life following Jesus, that's what you see in the man who was born blind. And his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ grows as the chapter develops. And you remember that he was excommunicated from the synagogue. They cast him out. And you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And Jesus knew that they'd excommunicated him. You read in John 9, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus found him when they had cast him out. And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And he answered, or said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This is eternal life at work. That's what it looks like. It's a growing knowledge, a growing delight, a growing joy, a growing commitment to Jesus Christ. And Jesus takes him forward, this blind man, in his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a sinner, the blind man learns. He's doing the work of God, the blind man learns. He's more than a prophet, the blind man learns. And now Jesus speaks to him something he hadn't really spoken directly to anybody else. He said to the woman at the well, I am the Christ. He says to this blind man, in effect, I am the Son of God. This is eternal life, to know the Father and to know the Son. And the blind man is growing. Do you have eternal life? Do you have a life which delights in Jesus? Do you have a life that so delights in Jesus and has a growing delight and a growing knowledge of Jesus Christ that the voices of the world can't suppress that? It's welling up in you, this joy in Jesus. Well, our life and our enjoyment of eternal life sometimes runs very shallow and dry. But Jesus tells us this eternal life will be like a well of water springing up within them. What a wonderful thing to have a growing delight in Jesus Christ, more and more. One day we're going to see him. We're getting closer, as it were, to that day. Every day we're getting closer to the time when we will see Jesus in his full wonder and glory. And eternal life is on that trajectory of seeing him. Beloved, John tells us, now are we the children of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Eternal life. Now, moving briefly to Lazarus, because he's the other illustration of what eternal life is like. Lazarus had eternal life. He was one of Jesus' sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Lazarus had heard the voice of Jesus. Like Mary, his sister, who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to Jesus as he taught in their home. Lazarus lapped up the teaching of Jesus. And there was a love between Lazarus and Jesus, a living, dynamic love. You remember when Lazarus was sick and dying, his sisters sent an urgent message to Jesus. He whom you love is sick. And Jesus did love Lazarus, and Lazarus loved Jesus. It was the love of the shepherd for one of his sheep, and the love of one of his sheep for the good and wonderful shepherd. Eternal life, welling up of love for Jesus. But some disease seemed to be snatching Lazarus away from Jesus, away from his sisters, away from life into death itself. And the claws of death had got into Lazarus and dragged him down to the grave. But Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." There is a security for the Christian, a security for one of Christ's sheep, so that nothing, no disease, no terminal illness, as in the case of Lazarus, can snatch them out of the hand of the Good Shepherd. Not even death itself can snatch them from the grip of the Good Shepherd. And so the Lord Jesus Christ goes to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead and demonstrate there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing present, nothing past, nothing future, nothing in heaven, no created thing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes to Bethany and he raises Lazarus from the dead. "My sheep hear my voice." What an astonishing thing when, having rolled the gravestone away, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth. My sheep hear my voice." And Lazarus came forth, and Jesus demonstrated that he is the resurrection and the life. And not even death can take any of his sheep from him. Are you a Christian? There is a wonderful security in being a Christian. Not even death can separate you from the life that Jesus gives to his sheep. And he gives them that life because he has taken away their death, taken away their sin. The Lamb of God is the shepherd. The shepherd is the Lamb. And he is able to save because he has died for his sheep, the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Are you a Christian? Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your soul? Have you heard his wonderful encouragement, so different to all the voices of every other religious system, where Jesus says, "I give eternal life"? Not if you do this, if you go on pilgrimage and fast and pray so many times a day and deny yourself this and deny yourself that, then maybe, perhaps, you'll earn enough merit to escape from whatever lies ahead. No, Jesus is different. He says, I give eternal life. He gives his life for the sheep, and he gives his risen life to the sheep. And he calls us to him, "Come unto me." He calls his sheep. Go to the scriptures. Go to the Spirit. Pray the Spirit to illuminate your heart and mind and to learn of Jesus. And Jesus' sheep follow him. Whatever the consequences, people may despise you, scorn you, excommunicate you from their society, Jesus will look after you. He'll come, he'll find you, he'll encourage you, he'll take you on into a deeper knowledge of himself. The wonders of Jesus. Do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he, Lord? Well, Jesus takes the blind man on, or the seeing man on. Is Jesus taking you on in a deeper knowledge of himself, taking you deeper into a knowledge of the Father? This is eternal life, to know God the Father, to know God the Son, and to have this irrepressible growing knowledge of them. Are you secure? When death starts laying hold of you, are you secure in the knowledge that nothing is able to snatch you out of the hand of the Good Shepherd? It's a wonderful security. So may we all hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and be bound to him and have the gift of eternal life springing up within us as we delight in him more and more until death yields us up to Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.